What if you could discover a new, high-performance material in a few months instead of the 10 years it typically takes? IBM just secured 5 U.S. patents for generative AI models designed to do just that. This isn't science fiction anymore. For companies in the $10 trillion global manufacturing sector, the question is no longer if this will disrupt your business, but how soon. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking 3 critical themes. First, the dawn of AI-driven material science and what IBM's latest patents mean for R&D. Second, the regulatory hammer coming down on forever chemicals and the business risks and opportunities that creates for manufacturers. And finally, we'll look at major supply chain consolidation in Asia as chemical giants like BASF and Celanese restructure their operations with direct implications for Western buyers. Troy, let's start with IBM. The headline is Generative AI for Material Science. Unpack that for us. What have they actually patented?
Between 2021 and 2026, IBM secured 5 U.S. patents for what's being called generative chemistry. This shifts material science from a passive screening process, testing thousands of existing compounds, to an active inverse design workflow.
Okay, inverse design sounds like technical jargon. What does it mean in plain English for a business leader?
It means instead of asking, what can this material do, you tell the AI the properties you need. For example, you can specify you need a new polymer with the mechanical strength of steel, but the weight of plastic, and a thermal stability of 300 degrees Celsius. The AI then proposes novel molecular structures to meet those exact requirements.
That sounds revolutionary. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
It creates an enormous competitive advantage. Companies in aerospace, medical devices, or automotive can accelerate their R&D cycles by years, creating proprietary, high-performance materials tailored to their products. It also poses a threat. Firms relying on traditional trial-and-error R&D will be unable to compete on speed or innovation.
And for Western trading companies and distributors, what should they know?
It presents new sourcing opportunities for these novel AI-designed materials. However, it's also a risk. Large manufacturers may use this technology to vertically integrate, designing and producing their own materials in-house, cutting out distributors. Market timing and identifying emerging material producers will be critical.
So, the actionable insight here?
Executives need to immediately assess their own R&D capabilities. They should be considering partnerships with tech leaders like IBM or starting to build in-house materials informatics teams. This is not a wait-and-see technology. This is a fundamental paradigm shift.
Moving from invention to regulation, Troy, there's been a lot of pressure building around PFAS, the so-called forever chemicals. We saw 2 major developments this week that seemed to pull in opposite directions.
That's right. On one side, we have the regulatory stick. On June 11th, U.S. lawmakers introduced the No Toxics in Food Packaging Act, which proposes a federal ban on PFAS, phthalates, BPA, and styrene in all food packaging. On the other side, we have the innovation carrot. On June 5th, the Swiss company Oerlikon unveiled a new line of high-performance PFAS-free industrial coatings.
A problem and a solution arriving in the same week. How do Oerlikon's coatings achieve the same performance without using PFAS?
They use sophisticated thin-film deposition techniques. This allows them to engineer material surfaces at the molecular level, creating high durability, low friction, and excellent water and oil repellency without resorting to per- and polyfluoroalkyl chemistry. It's a material science solution to a regulatory problem.
So what should a U.S. or European manufacturer be thinking right now? This bill is focused on food packaging, but does the impact stop there?
Absolutely not. This bill is the canary in the coal mine for all industries. Any manufacturer using PFAS-based coatings in automotive parts, textiles, medical devices, electronics needs an immediate transition plan. The opportunity is to get ahead of the inevitable broader regulations and market your products as safer and compliant.
And for trading companies and distributors?
They need to conduct an immediate audit of their entire product portfolio to identify any exposure to PFAS. They should be aggressively sourcing alternatives, like the new coatings from Oerlikon. There will be a significant first-mover advantage for distributors who can provide their manufacturing clients with compliant, PFAS-free solutions before a ban creates a supply shock.
What's the one action executives should take now?
Task your CTO and head of supply chain with a comprehensive PFAS risk assessment. They need to map its use across all products and suppliers and begin qualifying alternatives immediately. Waiting for the final legislation is a recipe for disruption.
Let's turn to the physical supply chain. We saw two almost identical announcements from major German and American chemical firms about their operations in South Korea. What's going on?
We're seeing a clear pattern of strategic consolidation. On June 10th, BASF announced it would cease production of expandable polystyrene at its plant in Ulsan, South Korea. Just 6 days earlier, on June 4th, Celanese announced the immediate closure of its engineered materials compounding facility, also in Ulsan.
Two major competitors closing plants in the same city within a week. That's a powerful signal. Where is that production going?
It's being consolidated into larger, more efficient hubs. Celanese explicitly stated it's moving production to its facilities in Nanjing and Shenzhen in China and Silvassa in India. This reflects a broader trend of Western chemical companies exiting lower-margin commodity product lines in highly competitive markets like Korea and concentrating their resources in megasites elsewhere in Asia.
How does this consolidation affect U.S. and European manufacturers who depend on these materials?
It fundamentally remaps their supply chain. On one hand, centralization could improve economies of scale and efficiency. On the other, it dramatically increases concentration risk. A shutdown or a geopolitical issue affecting a single site in Nanjing now has a much larger blast radius. European automotive and electronics firms, in particular, need to reevaluate their supply chain resilience.
What's the takeaway for trading companies and distributors?
Sourcing these specific polymers from South Korea will obviously become more difficult. They need to immediately strengthen their relationships with the consolidated manufacturing sites in China and India. More importantly, this is a clear signal to actively seek out second sourcing options outside of this newly concentrated network to de-risk their own supply.
So the immediate action item for executives is?
Update your supply chain map. Understand your company's new, heightened exposure to these specific sites in China and India. And task your procurement teams with identifying and qualifying alternative suppliers in other regions to mitigate this increased concentration risk.
Finally, Troy, let's connect back to where we started, technology. A report in EE Times on June 10th drew a direct line from the AI boom to a potential shortage of high-performance polymers. How are those two things related?
The connection is advanced semiconductor packaging. The explosive growth of AI is creating unprecedented demand for high-performance memory chips, specifically high-bandwidth memory, or HBM. Manufacturing these complex stacked chips requires a new generation of packaging materials.
And those materials are polymers.
Exactly. To manage the speed and heat of modern AI processors, you need polymers with very specific, extreme properties. You need materials with an exceptionally low dielectric constant to ensure signal integrity at high frequencies. And you need polymers with very high heat resistance to dissipate the immense thermal energy these chips generate.
What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers in the electronic space?
For companies making semiconductors, circuit boards, or any advanced electronic device, this is a new and critical supply chain bottleneck. They are now in direct competition for a limited supply of these highly specialized polymers. For the chemical companies, it's a massive high-margin growth opportunity, provided they can innovate and scale production to meet these demanding specifications.
What should distributors know?
This is no longer a niche market. The demand for these low-dielectric, high-thermal-resistance polymers is being driven by one of the largest technology shifts in a generation. Distributors specializing in electronic materials need to be locking in supply agreements now. This demand curve is steep and getting steeper.
What's the actionable insight for an executive audience?
If you're in the electronics value chain, you must qualify and secure multiple sources for these critical packaging polymers. If you are a specialty chemical producer, it is imperative to align your R&D pipeline with the public roadmaps of semiconductor giants. The AI industry is now your most demanding and potentially most lucrative customer.
All right, let's bring it all together. Troy, your three strategic takeaways for the week.
First, artificial intelligence is now a tool for physical creation. IBM's generative chemistry patents signal a dramatic acceleration in materials R&D. Companies that master this will invent the future. Second, the regulatory crackdown on forever chemicals is non-negotiable. The proposed U.S. federal ban on PFAS is a clear directive to de-risk your products and supply chains immediately.
And third, the polymer supply chain is being reshaped. Major plant closures in Korea by BASF and Celanese are concentrating production in China and India, increasing both efficiency and geopolitical risk.
And the key actions our listeners should be considering?
1. Begin a formal assessment of how AI can be integrated into your materials discovery and R&D process. 2. Launch a comprehensive audit of PFAS use across your entire value chain, from raw materials to finished goods. And 3. Remap your Asian supply chain to understand your new concentration risk and begin developing alternative sourcing strategies.
That is all the time we have for this week's briefing. Choi, as always, thank you for the clarity.
A pleasure, Susie.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us. You can find detailed notes for this episode on our website at troytechnical.com. Please subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you never miss your weekly strategic update. We'll be back next week.